TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's raised by wolves.
We need to build a sustainable model that's going to take time. But we don't just want to win. We don't just want to be in the playoffs here and there. We want to build something over time that's never been done in Minnesota. I think overall, the strategy is to question the norm, what's been done, how it's been done here in Minnesota in the past, and look for trade partners where we can do win-win deals that will allow us to build our roster to what our vision is.
It is Raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500scorenorth.com. That there was a new Timberwolves president of basketball operations, Garrison Rosas. I'm Robbie Maklouf, along with our Wolves reporter, Danny Cunningham. Read his thoughts and musings on the Wolves, including the hiring of Ryan Saunders, at scorenorth.com. Manny Hill on the other side of the glass. This is an emergency edition, you might say, of Raised by Wolves.
It was scheduled this morning.
Phil Mackey put the Wolves signal in the clouds, and we all assembled and came to talk about the official hiring as the permanent head coach. The interim tag has been lifted off his name of Ryan Saunders as the head coach.
Can I just complain about something real quick?
Sure.
Why did John Krasinski of The Athletic have to break this so early this morning? Like, he couldn't have waited two more hours. You couldn't have let me sleep in a little bit longer.
Well, how do you wake up to that? Like, do you have an alarm set for Wolves
news? I woke up and I had like five Twitter notifications on my phone.
Oh, okay.
And a couple text messages.
All right.
Like, it's...
You had to pee or something? You just got up to pee?
My internal alarm clock just kind of woke me up. I think it was 7:08 when I woke up, and I had a bunch of alerts on my phone. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And like, you couldn't have waited till 9 o'clock when the American workday starts, John.
Hey, man, the news happens when the news happens.
I know. Right? I was so... But they couldn't have happened 2 hours later.
Then somebody's going to scoop them.
Well, they should have agreed to wait until I woke up, okay? They should have agreed to wait for the sake of humanity.
But Ryan Saunders is the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He signed the contract, like I said, to lift the interim title off of his name. He is now the official head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. What was your guys' initial reaction response when you heard the news?
Not surprised. I thought that I was interested that they actually talked to some external candidates. They interviewed four of them this past week at the NBA Combine, three in person, one by phone. But I wasn't surprised that Ryan got the job. I think that was the most likely scenario. Even once they decided to go and talk to some outside candidates, I still think that Ryan being hired was more likely than any of the other four guys being hired. But I do like that it does seem as if they did their due diligence on some other people, that this was a very legitimate coaching search. It's not as if Garrison Rosas wasted his time talking to four guys only to name Ryan the head coach. He did that. He named Ryan the head coach because he feels as if he's the best fit for this organization and the best fit moving forward. And I think that it's a positive outcome for the Wolves.
If you want to give your thoughts on Ryan Saunders as the head coach of the Wolves, 651-646-8255. Manny, what was your reaction?
Yeah, very similar to Danny's. I was not surprised at all. I kind of felt like going into this process that Ryan was the front runner and that he was going to be most likely the guy to get the job. But I like that they went out and talked to other people and that they actually made this a coaching search and, you know, weighed their options and felt like Ryan was the best fit because he has head coaching experience, albeit a little bit, you know, very minor experience, but he has 42 games under his belt now. And now the focus now shifts to the off season. You know, what is this roster going to look like next season? Ryan's going to be able to put in his system, you know, when they get to training camp and really sort of put together. He and Rosas are going to be able to put together what they really want this team to look like for next season. And now all those questions have been answered.
There's two different things to look at, or that I looked at when I first heard this news. And you mentioned the word process, Manny. And that was the first thing that I looked at, because one scenario that I was adamantly against was Glenn Taylor hiring a president of basketball operations and saying, this is your GM and this is your coach, and the rest is your decisions to make. I did not want that to be the case, and I get the sense that that was not the case, that Garrison Rosas legitimately had the power to name whoever he wanted as the head coach, and these interviews of these other candidates that he brought in interview along with Ryan Saunders, this wasn't a dog and pony show. It looks like...
It wasn't a charade.
Right. He legitimately had the option and the ability to hire somebody other than Ryan Saunders And that's all I was asking from Glenn Taylor handing over control to Garrison Rosa.
And it definitely seems as if that was the case. There's nothing that's indicated to me that this was mandated. I'm sure there was probably a little bit of pressure because of who Ryan is, but I don't think it was nearly enough pressure for not only Rosas to hire him, but to give him a 4-year contract, because that's what Rosas' contract is. If their contracts are the same, this is Garrison Rosas' real opportunity to run an NBA team. And if he didn't think that Ryan was the right fit for it, he wouldn't be wasting his opportunity with somebody that he doesn't think is the right fit. He wouldn't be joining their contracts at the same length if he didn't feel Ryan could get the job done.
Right. Yeah, no doubt about it. So I think Garrison Rosas made the call. And that part of it I'm thrilled with. That's exactly what I wanted. I have as much faith as I can have in Garrison Rosas for a guy who's running a basketball operation for the first time in his career. He was in Dallas, but left after a short time because he didn't have the control that he wanted. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, and I have faith, like I said, as much faith as you can have in a guy with the experience that he has. I'm going to give him that. As far as the hire itself, I don't know. I don't know.
You're really bringing it strong with that take.
No, but that's the truth. And actually, I was just watching a piece from Dan Patrick today who was... He was having a hot take about how everybody always needs to have hot takes. And sometimes it's okay to say, I don't know. And so I'm going to do that right here, right now.
You are just stealing from Dan Patrick today.
That's something I've said for a long time.
I don't
time.
Think so. I think too you're
guys,
stealing from
too
Dan
Too many
Patrick.
Guys in our business feel like they need to know everything and need to have an opinion on every single thing.
I mean, the
thing.
More you know.
Right, exactly. I'm not that guy. When I don't know, I'll tell you, I don't know. And the reason I say that with Ryan Saunders is because... Like you said, Danny, none of the guys that they interviewed had head coaching experience. Did you say that on the air to Derek Wetmore before we came on the air? I don't know.
I've said it on the air previously.
All
but
that conversation
like
that sort
recently.
Of blended together. But none of those guys had head coaching experience. And I don't know how much you can take from Ryan Saunders' head coaching experience. I put that in quotations because of what he inherited when he got here. First of all, the chaos that was left from the Thibodeau era and Jimmy Butler being traded, all the injuries he had to deal with. Couldn't really put in his own systems and philosophies because it was too deep in the season already to do that. Didn't have his own coaching staff. I don't feel like we got a real good read or measure on what kind of head coach Ryan Saunders is or can be with the stint that he had as the interim. I'm not saying I don't know in a bad way. Like I'm legitimately saying I don't know what kind of head coach Ryan Saunders is. I feel like I have to give him that same benefit of the doubt that I'm giving Garrison Rosas as a guy who hasn't done this before. I like what I hear from them. I like the infrastructure that they were brought up in and the tree that they fell from, et cetera, but I just don't know what kind of coach he'll be until we get to really see him run a basketball team.
I do think that we did see that the moment wasn't too big for him, though, that the lights weren't too bright. The stage wasn't too big, that he can't handle being a head coach in the NBA. I think that that's something that we learned over his 42 game stint in charge. We don't know just how good he can be, but I think that I think everyone thinks he's got the potential to be really good in the NBA because of his track record. He was an assistant for 10 years in the NBA. It's not as if he had been there for 2 years. He's just trying to figure this out on the fly. He's been around for a long time. Just because he's 33, you don't think that. But I think that we learned that he's absolutely very capable of being a head coach in the NBA. It was more of a matter of when, not necessarily if, and the Wolves would rather see it with them than with somebody else.
Manny, how do you feel about him as a head coach? Are you sort of the same as me that we don't know a lot about him?
Yeah, I think we know more about him than the other candidates. I think it's really tough to know how good of a coach he is because of the circumstances that he had in these 42 games. We saw the defense really, really struggle. I think a lot of that was due largely in part to Robert Covington basically not playing any games while Ryan Saunders was the interim head coach for those 42 games. And Robert Covington is their best defensive player, like by far and away their best defensive player. And, you know, with just all the other injuries with Rose being in and out of the lineup and Jeff Teague being in and out of the lineup.
Covington never had him.
Yeah, Covington not being in the lineup at all. I mean, Tyus Jones missed a good chunk of games. I mean, their backcourt was decimated by injuries during this entire time that Ryan took over. So it's hard to really tell, like, how, you know, what they would have looked like with a full arsenal of talent and a full arsenal of players. And they went, I mean, 17-25, not a great record, but considering the, you know, the amount of depth that was decimated that, you know, that they had, I mean, it's hard to really tell how good of a job Ryan did. And I think considering all of those injuries, it could have been, I mean, I think it could have been a lot worse.
It's fair to say that they would have been better had they been healthier. Like, they would have won more games if Robert Covington were on the floor. So that does make it hard to evaluate Ryan, but I'm going to, and I think we have to trust Gerson Rosas in his decision-making here. He was brought in to make the tough decisions.
Right.
He's on a four-year contract to make these types of decisions, and he's getting paid more than you and I to make these types of decisions. He better get it right. If he doesn't get it right, he'll be gone. That's what it is. If you don't get this right, and I don't know if he's going to get one, two, three chances, whatever it is, but if you don't get it right, your leash becomes shorter.
Most general managers and presidents of basketball operations, if you're not named John Paxson and Gar Foreman, you get two coaches. You get to hire two coaches. So if this isn't working in a couple of years with Ryan Saunders, you'll probably see Gerson Rosas get one more crack at it. And if he doesn't get that right, well, we'll be sitting here talking about a new president of basketball operations.
But exactly, it's a very limited. Right. It's a very limited opportunity. You don't have every chance in the world to get it right. You have very limited opportunities. So that's why I think that we do have to trust Rosas here, because he's taking a shot at this, and if it's wrong, it's his reputation too. It's not just Ryan; it's him.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I can say I do like about Ryan Saunders is we know, as the youngest head coach in the league, he's a forward-thinking guy. He's not stuck in the past of the NBA, and obviously Gerson Rosas wasn't going to hire anybody to do that, but you needed somebody who was on the same page with Gerson Rosas, who was analytically minded, because when the front office and the guys coaching the players on the court aren't on the same page when it comes to that, it is an absolute disaster. I remember a story about Jason Kidd shortly after he was fired in Milwaukee about their front office sitting down with him and going through the analytics and saying, look, you need to do this, this, and this is what the analytics say if you want to win basketball games. And Jason Kidd essentially said, how many people in here have won championships in the NBA? Nobody said anything. He got up and walked out of the room.
Did you ever expect Jason Kidd to be analytically savvy after he spent $50,000 on a cup of soda?
I mean, he measured the cost of the soda versus the timeout that he needed when he didn't have any timeouts.
I mean, it's an expensive soda.
It's expensive for you and me. He played in the league for a long time.
It's an expensive soda. Could have got that for $350.
And now he's on the coaching staff for the Los Angeles Lakers.
And they're getting introduced right now as we speak.
That's hilarious.
It's an amazing day today.
Oh, that Lakers thing. Can we talk about that before we're done here?
I'm all about it.
Please.
That unnecessary drama.
But first, let's do the sufficient digging on the Ryan Saunders hire. One thing I don't care about that I keep seeing brought up with Ryan Saunders, and one of the reasons why he was hired, his relationship with Wiggy and Karl Anthony Towns. Well, I especially don't care what your relationship with Wiggy is.
I think it matters about Towns, though. I think that absolutely matters. And
I mean,
think back to, they beat Golden State in late March. Mm-hmm. It was one of their last wins. And after the game, Towns was asked about if he thought Ryan should stick around as the head coach. And he said, I think he's done a lot to earn it. Our record might not be what we want it to be, but I think the culture he's building and the excitement the fans feel in our team, something you just can't make up. He is Minnesota basketball through and throughout. His blood has been here his whole life. His blood before him has been there their whole lives. I think he's a great candidate for the job. When your best player and by far the most important employee in your franchise says that, it does carry a little bit of weight.
I'm sure it does, but, and I'm not saying that it's not important that the head coach have a good relationship with Karl Anthony Towns. I'm just saying the fact that he already had that isn't a big plus in my book if I'm Gerson Rosas, because whoever I hire, I was just talking about this on the Score North First Place Twins show, which was just before this. If you missed that, check out the Score North mobile app. You can download all our podcasts or listen live, and you get points for listening live, and then you can turn those points into rewards. It's available for Apple and Android, but
good read.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You lost your train of thought, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I did for a second, but now I got it back. Whoever I hire, because, like I just said on the Score North First Place Twins show, managing and coaching in 2019 is as much about managing egos and personalities as it is calling X's and O's or whatever goes into being a coach for a given sport. And in 2019, kids don't respond to screaming at them and I'm your superior and you listen to me.
Yes, Tom Thibodeau's coaching style is a little bit outdated.
It's about communication and relationships. So if I'm Gerson Rosas, whoever I'm hiring is going to be a guy who is adept in communications and fostering relationships and is going to develop a good relationship with Karl Anthony Towns. Like I said, I don't necessarily see the fact that he already has a good relationship with Karl Anthony Towns as a leg up, because whoever I'm bringing in, I'm expecting to develop that.
What about the fact that he's already been brought up as a terrific communicator by guys in that locker room?
That's great.
That have been around the league that have said that he's the best coach communicator that they've ever played for. Good, and we're talking about guys that have been in the NBA for 10 plus years.
Good communicator is a box I have to check off for whoever I'm hiring as head coach. The fact that these guys are already comfortable with them and he communicates with them well isn't a big deal to me, because whoever I bring in, I expect to do that. That's part of why I'm hiring you.
Sure, that's fair.
Right?
That's very fair, yeah.
Manny, you on the same page with that?
Well, communicating with players, yes. That, I mean, that's number one for me. I mean, you've got to be able to connect with players, you know, and you've got to be on the same page as your star player. I mean, that relationship is more critical than anything to me. I mean, it's... If your star player and your head coach are butting heads, like literally butting heads.
I've never seen that before. Were they literally butt heads?
Yeah, that would be a little bit. That would be a little bit troublesome. But if those
college
guys,
coach did it a few years ago, didn't he? Didn't the college coach getting in one of his players' faces headbutt him was inadvertent?
I'm sure Bob Knight has probably headbutted his players a couple of times. But if those two guys are not on the same page, it that sort of thing can trickle down to the rest of the roster too. And then the next thing you know, there's talk of, you know, has that coach lost that locker room? Has he lost, you know, control of his entire roster? So I think that is, if it's not the top priority, it's one of them. It's right up there with the top as you know, as far as other things are concerned.
Wolves hire Ryan Saunders as permanent head coach. Interim tag lifted off of his title. We want your thoughts on it. 651-646-8255. Do you like the move? Do you dislike the move? Are you skeptical just because it's the Wolves? 651-646-8255. You can tweet us at SKOR North. Manny Hill, Danny Cunningham. I'm Rami Makhlouf. We're all back right after this on Score North on 1500. And scorenorth.com.
We're pinning our ears back. Scorenorth.com.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You aren't into Minnesota sports? Talk to the Mitten. Score North. Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere. ScoreNorth.com.
And as I visit with him, it's been such a special experience to see this unbelievably talented young man who's got a passion and a drive to be great, not only for himself, but for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and a player who's doing things in this game very early in his career that give signs to something very special and very rare into the future.
That's Gerson Rosas, Wolves Pobo. Is Pobo okay to say? Is that
yes.
Okay. Wolves Pobo, president of basketball operations, if you don't know. This is Raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500 and ScoreNorth.com. Rami Makhlouf, along with Wolves reporter Danny Cunningham. Find his thoughts on the Wolves at ScoreNorth.com, including his column about the hiring of Ryan Saunders, Manny Hill, on the other side of the glass. You can read that column on Score North, but also with the Score North mobile app, which is available for Apple and Android. And the longer you listen live on the app, the more points you rack up for potential rewards. You can also listen live at live.scorenorth.com. Or if you have an Amazon Alexa device, just say, Alexa, open Score North. Ever since the Gerson Rosas hire, and I'm still relatively new to this market, so I don't.
Hey, me too.
Cool. I don't have the history and the apprehension that goes with that history. I think we're experiencing some of this with the Twins right now, who are winning baseball games, and you still have people who are telling me to pump the brakes. There are a lot of Wolves fans who I feel like are skeptical of Gerson Rosas, who are skeptical of his hire of Ryan Saunders and whether or not Gerson Rosas even made that hire, if this was another Glenn Taylor meddling situation. All indications are it was his hire. But there are a lot of skeptical Wolves fans out there around these two moves and really around any move that the Wolves make. And if you want to get in on this, 651-646-8255, if you're one of those Wolves fans I'm talking about, and I'll be honest with you guys, my thoughts aside and how I feel about these moves, I can't blame them. I can't blame Wolves fans at this point for being skeptical about everything Glenn Taylor and this organization does.
It's easy to be skeptical because if you look at the history of this organization, almost nothing's ever gone right. That's why. Like, none of their hires, the last time they hired a president of basketball operations, how'd it go? Not well.
Nope.
Before that, how'd it go? Not well.
Right.
So every time that they've done this, it's gone poorly. I would be continuously skeptical of the people that are making this, the decision, as long as the same guy owns the team, until it finally does turn around. And it is going to take that special person to turn around. Maybe it is Gerson Rosas. Maybe he's that special guy that can get it to fit. It's kind of like being a quarterback in a really bad, for a really bad franchise. Like take the Cleveland Browns, for instance. Mm-hmm. They were a train wreck for 20 years. It didn't matter who would have lined up at quarterback for them. They would not have been successful.
And a lot of people did.
And a lot of people did, yes. Like 27 of them lined up at quarterback. None of them were successful because it's going to continue to take a very special person to right that ship because it's been so bad for so long. And maybe Gerson Rosas is that person. Maybe Ryan Saunders is that person. But they need that special person where those, all of those, the outside noise and all of the other things going on and the history and the failed history of this organization won't affect them. They need that person. And if it's Rosas and Saunders, great, you're on the right track. But we don't know yet. And that's why everyone can continue to be skeptical, because they haven't found that right person to get it done the way it needs to be done.
And yeah, when there's a new regime, I'm always, and whether it's teams I'm covering, teams I root for, I'm always one. I feel like I'm just a more forgiving and accepting person than a lot of people in the sports world. I'm always one to say, hey, man, this guy wasn't part of the past problems. Let's give him a chance to screw up.
But it's not even that guy. It's that, the guy that hired him.
That's what
it dates back to. It's not that these people don't think Gerson Rosas can do the job. It's that they don't trust Glenn Taylor to get the right person to let him
just do the job.
Yes, exactly. That's what it is. It's not that, this Gerson Rosas guy is a joke or whatever. It's we don't trust Glenn Taylor to make the proper hire.
Right.
That's what it is.
And that's what I was just going to say, which is that when you have decades on decades of futility, like we're looking at with the Wolves, Manny, it's not like you can just look at the lack of success and go, yeah, they've had some bad luck over the years. I think the Vikings, you can legitimately say they might have a couple of Super Bowls, if not for some bad luck, right? Mm-hmm. With the Wolves, their futility is It's simple.
There's not really anyone else to blame other than themselves.
Right. It's simple math. It's incompetence. It's dysfunction. They've brought this upon themselves, and that's why they've been one of the laughingstocks of the NBA for so long, because they keep bringing this upon themselves, and they have nobody to blame but themselves. And I think Wolves fans see that and aren't going to just buy in and trust because it looks like you're forward thinking and moving in a new direction, and Glenn Taylor has handed off control to Gerson Rosas. Wolves fans are going to sit back with their arms crossed and go, okay, sure they are.
And when you couple when you pair that with bad luck, because there has been bad luck for the Wolves too.
Sure.
Let's not forget about that.
Like, yeah, we experienced that for the first time ourselves last week and with the live lottery.
It wasn't just this lottery watch along. It's been just about every single lottery ever. they've got the worst lottery track record in the NBA.
They've right. never moved up.
Yes, they've never once moved up. They've moved down. I believe they've moved down.
Mackey had the number 17 for us times the other day, like plus minus.
They are minus 17.
Yep.
30th. That is 30th. They're that minus 17 in the lottery.
Ridiculous.
And they have been in the lottery, I think, 20.
This was 21 times.
21 times. They've been in the lottery, in the draft lottery. It is, I mean, you. Part of this, too, is you go back to, I think, the last time that there was, like, some real optimism about, like, the future was, I'll go back to 2015, when they won that lottery because they had the worst record in the league. They had the best odds to win the lottery, and they did. And they got Carl, number one overall. And you had this young trio of Towns, and you had Wiggins, and you had Zach LaVine. And at that time, the thought on Andrew Wiggins was still, like, very high. Like, people thought Wiggins could turn into something, and people thought LaVine, like, everybody thought that this was going to be the young core that they were going to build around. And then, you know, Flip got sick. Flip passed away. That changed everything. Tibbs gets hired, trades Zach LaVine away. Then Wiggins, people start to realize Wiggins is just not good. And that, I mean, that was sort of the last, I think, gasp of, like, people having optimism and saying, okay, yeah, now they finally got it right. And then when that sort of did not go according to the way the fans wanted it to go, everybody's just kind of like, okay, now you gotta deliver. You gotta stop selling me on hope, and you gotta go out and actually, if you're gonna be good, you gotta actually go out and be good before we buy that you're going in the right direction.
And I think the best I can do for the Timberwolves to try and get fans to buy in is to, I'm not even asking you to buy a ticket or to believe in this team, but just
asking you to listen to Score North.
Have an open mind and listen to Raised by Wolves, and we'll tell you if this thing is moving in the right direction.
Exactly.
Right?
That's really all you need to do. I can't think of anything else that any Wolves fans would need.
Well, they should also read your work at scorenorth.com.
Yeah, just consume Score North. That's all you have to do.
There is one thing that even with the short time that I've had here in Minneapolis and the experience that I've had with the Minnesota Timberwolves that I am right there with Wolves fans on is Until I see it, I don't believe in Andrew Wiggins, and I won't believe in Andrew Wiggins.
No one should.
I don't know about you guys.
No one should. 100% agree.
Like, I'm flat out, like, with, like I said, Rosas, Saunders, I don't know anything about them. I'm going to give them an open mind and the benefit of the doubt. Andrew Wiggins, I highly doubt. I am very skeptical that he'll ever live up to half or three quarters of a max contract in the NBA for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Why would you be anything but skeptical?
Right.
Why would you not? Why would you think that he can turn it around? Because he hasn't shown anything that says he can so far.
Because Gerson Rosas, and I'm sure Ryan Saunders, when he has his press conference, are going to sell us the line of, we think we can unlock Andrew Wiggins, he wants it, he wants to win really bad, he wants to be a great player, blah, blah, blah. The stuff we've all heard many, many times before while he's been one of the worst and most inefficient shooters in all the NBA.
He's still young.
So when they try and sell me that line, I'm going to roll my eyes. For as much benefit of the doubt and open-mindedness as I'm going to bring for Gerson Rosas and Ryan Saunders, when they talk about what they plan on doing with Andrew Wiggins, and I've already done it with Gerson Rosas once in his introductory press conference, I'm going to roll my eyes all the way into the back of my head whenever they talk about Andrew Wiggins and unlocking him or some potential that's there that they think they can tap into.
And that's what it should be. Until he proves otherwise, that's exactly what the reaction should be.
And the one thing about them saying that really rubs me the wrong way is I feel like it's Glenn Taylor saying it through them.
They've invested as a franchise so much money, they don't have an option of anything else to say.
Right.
What else are you going to say about your maximum contract player that's been nothing but a disappointment throughout his career? You have to try and sell some hope there. You can't just be like, yeah, he's a failure, we need to cut bait. You can't say that publicly.
If I was them, to maybe light a fire under Andrew Wiggins, I'd say, we hope he's a big part of the future, but he needs to show us that he can be.
I would be with you. That's something that could be said. But
that would be the line that I'm selling if I'm Gerson Rosas and Ryan Saunders. We hope he can be a big part of the future. We gave him a max contract, and we hope one day he can live up to that. But up until today, he hasn't. And until he does, we can't guarantee that he will.
And the other part of this, too, I don't want to hear a damn thing the next time he has a 30-point game.
Right.
I don't want to hear anything. Because that has happened so many times over the last couple of years. Andrew Wiggins would have a game where he scores 27 points and he gets 7 rebounds and he blocks a couple of shots. And we're like, man, is this finally it? Is this the turning point for Wiggins? And then it's just the same old story. So the next 3 or 4 times he has a 25 or 30 point game, I don't want to hear a damn thing. I want to see more consistency.
I need
before,
to see
before I believe anything with this guy.
I need to see like a pretty consistent 20 to 30 game stretch from Andrew Wiggins.
Before, a full season, I think.
Before before I start to buy in, before I start to go, you need okay, to see a full maybe, season. Maybe there's something
I
there.
Think you need to see a full season before you say that.
We've been teased
with what
before.
His track record's been. You have to see a full season of it, man. Or we've seen
5 years,
10,
man.
15 game stretches, and then it's been the same thing for 5 years.
So we're done with Andrew Wiggins. That's where we're at.
That's in an ideal world, yeah. In an ideal world, yeah. But
would you give up number 11 and Andrew Wiggins just to be rid of his contract?
Depends what you're getting back, but probably not.
I mean, you probably aren't getting much back. It's just going to be to get rid of his contract.
Then no.
You'll probably get some expiring contracts.
The number 11 pick's too valuable to do that.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you started scouting the number 11 pick? Do you have some names for us that you want to throw out
I
there?
I do have. I have a list of like 10 names that I think could be guys that are available in that area that really? I'm planning on doing some film breakdowns, I suppose, would be the best way to put it.
For scorenorth.com?
That would be the place they will be found, yes.
I want to hear a little bit about this list on the other side of a commercial break.
Okay.
You're listening to Raised by Wolves. That's Danny Cunningham. You can see that film work and his column on the hiring of Ryan Saunders at scorenorth.com or on that Score North mobile app. Manny Hill on the other side of the glass. It's an emergency Raised by Wolves with the news that Ryan Saunders has been given the head coaching job on a permanent basis. Interim tag lifted off of his title. He is the head coach of your Minnesota Timberwolves. If you want to talk about it, 651-646-8255 or tweet us at Score North. And Raised by Wolves will be back right after this on Score North on 1500 and scorenorth.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, you put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. Medela, the mark of the fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's hard to do the floss wearing snow pants, but that's how we feel about Minnesota sports. It makes us want to do that. We know you get it. ScoreNorth.com.
You know, we want to be aggressive in the marketplace, and that's easy to say. That's hard to do because execution is difficult in this league. But we want to explore all avenues. You know, we're coming on to the draft, so our ability to make the best pick possible at 11 is critical. Looking options to move up in the draft. If we feel like there's good value on the board and we can move back, those are things we'll explore as well.
There's Garrison Rosas. Wrong button. The
on one is the one you were looking for.
The P-O-B-O of your Minnesota Timberwolves. It's Raised by Wolves.
Say Popo, Rami. Popo, it sounds
not
so much
P-O-B-O.
Better. P-O-B-O just sounds like... It sounds like some sort of like... I don't know.
You guys
some
have been
sort of like sickness. Or
maybe
something.
You guys haven't been working with me long enough, but you tell me not to do something. I'm a child. I'm going to do it. The P.O.B.O. of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Garrison Rosas. This is Raised by Wolves. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Danny Cunningham, our Wolves reporting man, Hill on the other side of the glass. And before the break, Danny, we teased that you had a list of potential draftees at number 11 for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and you'll be doing some video study on them soon for scorenorth.com.
Yes, yes. So I've got 10 guys that I think could be available. A couple of them will maybe go prior to the Wolves actually getting on the clock at number 11. Like a guy like Kobe White is someone I think would be a really good fit, point guard from North Carolina, but I could see him going in the 6, 7, 8, 9 range.
Yeah, that's
so
what
he might not make it to the Wolves at 11. He was someone whose his stock has gone up a little bit recently. and he probably won't be there at 11. Another guy that probably won't be there is Cam Reddish, although his stock continues to fall. So maybe he does make it to 11.
Why is his stock falling?
Because he just did not have a good freshman season at Duke. He was the third option and did not look comfortable being the third option. I have heard that the Cleveland Cavaliers do seem to like him a bit at number 5, so maybe he goes there. Maybe he goes 7 to the Bulls. But if neither of those things happen, I could absolutely see him end up falling to the Hawks either at 8 or 10 or to the Wolves at number 11.
Wow.
He's another guy. He's someone that I think could fall. Kevin Porter Jr. is a very interesting guy. He was someone that he went to USC, was thought of entering his freshman season as a top 5 draft pick, ended up getting dismissed from the team at midseason at Southern California. And he's in the draft. He's a very much so a boomer bust type guy that he could be a star in the NBA. He's a top 5 talent. There are character concerns there. And if you're willing to take a risk there, you could get a really, really good player. And he's someone that should be available at 11.
There you go. So you'll see Danny's breakdown of those guys, a little video study of them coming up soon at scorenorth.com. And I'm sure much more on the draft leading up to the actual NBA draft. That's in like a month, isn't it?
1 month from today. Wow. June 20th. Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I nailed that.
Yes.
That
good
was just
job.
A shot in the dark.
I mean, once in a while, you're going to hit one of those.
So we'll have the draft covered for you like a blanket here on Score North. And I'm sure we'll be doing some watch along stuff and lots of fun draft stuff for you surrounding the Minnesota Timberwolves. So today, Magic Johnson, who stepped down as the president, the POBO of the Los Angeles Lakers a couple weeks ago. He was on First Take and just went scorched earth.
It was amazing.
GM Rob Pelinka.
And then I start hearing, Magic, you're not working hard enough. Magic's not in the office. So people around the Laker office was telling me, Rob was saying things. And
Rob Pelinka.
And I didn't like those things being said behind my back, that I wasn't in the office enough and so on and on. So I started getting calls from my friends outside of basketball saying those things now were said to them outside of basketball.
So he says that Rob Pelinka, remember he referenced backstabbing?
Yes.
When he stepped down?
Yes.
He's now fingered Rob Pelinka as the backstabber, as somebody who is going around telling people that Magic Johnson didn't work hard enough as the president of basketball operations.
He was not in the office
for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, it was amazing. His appearance on First Take today was absolutely what entertainment should be.
And Magic also said that he had already been planning on only being the president of the Lakers for 3 years and then walking away. And that was something Rob Pelinka knew when he got the job. Well, and Matthew Collar joins us now.
Do you remember when he said that if he didn't get a big star, he was going to resign?
Yes.
Like, because the league's all about stars.
That's right. I forgot about that.
If he could not lure a star to Los Angeles, he was going to step down. And then he did and then stepped down anyways.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. Like I said, Matthew Collar joining us. Have you seen the developments in the Lakers drama this morning?
I have. And you know what's sort of fun and weird is that the Lakers are just irrelevant, and Magic Johnson hammering people is the only way they can be irrelevant. I never would have guessed this. If you said 10 years ago to me that the only way the Los Angeles Lakers franchise would be in the news is Magic Johnson airing all of the dirty laundry on First Take, then I would have been stunned that this organization could be this just completely out of mind in the NBA.
My question here is, when Magic Johnson had his talk show, The Magic Hour, back in the 90s, where was this guy? Because that show would have been watched. It would not have failed if this guy showed up every day to work.
You don't think it would have gotten canceled after 6 episodes?
Not if it was this, no.
I mean,
that was great TV.
But his analysis, when he was an analyst on ESPN, it was much more like his tweets than it was today of him being completely honest. The one thing with Magic that is extremely clear is that Magic Johnson is great at two things. He's great, number one, at everything involved with basketball, being a basketball player, not anymore, but when he was a basketball player, and then being Magic Johnson and being likable and being friendly and having the big smile and have everybody liking him. And for him to be in a situation where people didn't like him has to be the most bizarre thing for Magic Johnson in the entire world, because most of Magic Johnson is showing up and being Magic Johnson. And this is why it's always really risky. Anytime a franchise decides to make a legend the guy in charge, how about John Elway? How you doing finding those quarterbacks, John Elway?
Hey, you got Joe Flacco.
No, I think he did a good job drafting Drew Locke where he drafted him. But still, I mean, the record of John Elway drafting quarterbacks is so hilariously abysmal. Like, Paxton Lynch is one of the biggest busts of all time. And that's not even... You know, that's not even the end of it with him in quarterbacks, aside from getting Peyton Manning. So with Magic Johnson, it was probably doomed from the very beginning, and now we can sit back and watch it burn to the ground.
But if you're Rob Pelinka, like, for everything that you just said about Magic Johnson, he's still Magic Johnson, and especially to Lakers fans, he's still Magic Johnson. Yep. You know what I mean? So I don't even know how you win in this situation. Like, this was, he had the press conference today introducing their new head coach, and he obviously was asked about Magic Johnson's comments. This was Rob Pelinka's response.
Magic Johnson did an interview this morning in which he said that he felt like you betrayed him when you guys were working together. What was your reaction to him saying that? And do you believe that's a fair assessment of your relationship?
I think the most important thing for me is the 2 years of getting to work side by side with Irvin are some of the greatest memories I have in sports and work. He's an unbelievable person to work with. He fills the room with joy and vision. And truly, it's saddening and disheartening to think he believes things are a misperception. I think all of us in life probably have been through things where maybe there's third-party whispers or he said, she said things that aren't true. And then I have talked to him several times since he decided to step away. We've had many joy-filled conversations. In fact, 2 days ago, we were reliving the combine and the fourth pick and talking about the great future that this franchise has. So these things are surprising to hear and disheartening. But I look forward to the opportunity to talk with him and sit down with him and work through them, just like in any relationship, because they're just simply not true. I stand beside him. I stand with him as a colleague, as a partner. I've always supported everything he's done and will continue to. And, you know, I think that's the best way to address that.
I really do think that is the best way to address that.
It is, but also, like, laying it on a little thick. He fills every room with joy and vision, which is what I said when we hired you, Rami. It was like, oh, he fills every room with joy and vision. I don't know how you fill a room with vision, but you could try. I mean, right, one of the telltale signs with anything, and this is from Dan, I'm sure you know too, going to 100,000 press conferences in my life as a reporter is the longer somebody yammers on about something, the more full of it they are.
Yep.
How about, hey, John DeFilippo, why weren't the Vikings running Dalvin Cook as much? See, what happened was, and I remember DeFilippo said, there is no one in this building who wants to run the football more than me. I'm like, okay, A, Mike Zimmer is, but also...
Probably Dalvin Cook, too.
Probably Dalvin Cook.
Well, it's Kirk Cousins explaining his fumbles, too. Same sort of thing.
Exactly. I was supposed to be at 8.5 yards, and Riley Reiff didn't block the guy to 9.5 yards, and all this. It's like, okay, look, I get that you have to bow down and kiss the ring because it is Magic Johnson, and I thought it was kind of interesting him even calling him Irvin, like...
They're two different people.
I don't know if that was intentional or not. Of like, I really liked working with Irvin. You're like, oh, okay.
I think Magic and Irvin. Magic and Irvin are two different people. Yeah. Magic needs to be liked by everyone. Irvin's a normal guy.
Feel like that was Irvin talking?
It's Bruce Banner.
Who said that Rob Pelinka stabbed him in the back?
Oh no, that was Magic. Magic was on TV. Irvin doesn't do TV. Magic does TV. Irvin doesn't
Bruce
do
Banner
TV.
And the Hulk, man.
Irvin did the Magic Hour in the 90s. Magic Johnson did First Take Today.
For entertainment purposes, this is kind of great, and I wish I was a reporter covering it because I can imagine what the media room was like after that response. Oh my God. This reminds me of Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen after they yelled at each other on the sidelines. Like, look, you guys have never had a better conversation with another human being than I just had right there. I've never even had a better conversation with my wife than I had with Kirk Cousins on that sideline. We bonded so close right after when you guys weren't looking and it wasn't on TV. We hugged and became best friends ever. Like, okay, guys, just say you yelled at each other. Like, that was laid on so thick right there that you just know, oh yeah, it was really bad.
What do you think would have been the funnier reaction? The media reaction in that room after Rob Pelinka said that about Magic Johnson, or the reaction of the Twin Cities media after Jimmy Butler at his Philadelphia introductory press conference said he was one of the most amazing human beings on the planet?
Yeah, well, I could say media rooms are a very funny place, but the best part is that a lot of people in sports, they're like, oh yeah, we'll fool them. Here's how we'll spin this. Here's what we'll say to this silly, ridiculous media. And then as soon as it comes out of their mouth and we're all looking at them with blank, confused stares, I wonder if they realize, yeah, I didn't fool anybody with that. Like, Magic and I, we're the best friends that have ever been, and he fills every room with so much joy. I have joy just saying his name right now. I want to say it a few more times because I love him so much. Like, no one is buying this, dude. I mean, is he really looking out at the media there? The LA media, who's covered I don't know how many things, and going, oh yeah, they're buying this.
But what could he do?
No, he had to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
I wish he would have gone scorched earth like Magic Johnson did on first take.
Just love the games we play. Like, this is part of the fun that we have covering sports teams and sports is the ridiculousness that goes on, especially when teams are trying to cover incredibly obvious situations.
I wonder if anyone asked Frank Vogel a question at his own introductory press conference.
I know.
Today.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the whole thing, though, is of Magic going on First Take this morning, is that this is the same day that they're introducing Frank Vogel as their next head coach. I mean, and the other part of this too that's so interesting to me is, remember, Rob Pelinka is Kobe Bryant's former agent.
Yeah.
And Rob and Kobe, I imagine, have a very good relationship. And now that whole thing, you've got the two greatest Lakers of all time. Like, that whole storyline being in the middle of things is going to be really interesting going forward now, too.
The awkwardness makes it beautiful. Rami, can I fight with you about something real quick before you guys head out?
Mm-hmm.
The point about Ryan Saunders and Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yes.
Earlier, you were talking about how, well, you know, you've got to have a coach who can communicate with anyone. I think that the way the league is now, with the amount of power that players have, if I were Gerson Rosas, the first thing I did when I got the job would be go to Karl-Anthony Towns and say, who do you want as the coach? And whoever you say Karl-Anthony Towns is your coach.
That's too much power for that dude to have. He hasn't earned that yet.
But that's what
you get that when you're LeBron or at least KD.
But he is one of the best players in the NBA. He's your franchise player. Nobody matters more. I can get rid of anybody except for him. I can replace anybody in the organization except Karl-Anthony Towns.
I didn't get hired to be president of basketball operations to let Karl-Anthony Towns hire the next coach.
Well, you didn't get hired as Gerson Rosas did.
I'm saying if I'm sitting in Gerson Rosas' chair.
If Karl-Anthony Towns is not happy through this process, you're done.
I'm not saying it's not important. This is what I said before. I'm not saying it's not important that Karl-Anthony Towns is happy and gets along and has good communication with the next head coach. I'm just saying the fact that Ryan Saunders already has that with him isn't that big a plus for me, because whoever I'm hiring, one of the boxes I have to check off is good communicator, fosters relationships. So whoever comes in, I need to have the utmost confidence and faith that they will foster that relationship with Karl-Anthony Towns if they don't already have it in the way that Ryan Saunders does.
Yeah, and I get your point. Of course, that's right, that you're going to have someone that can connect with all of the players on different levels. But with Carl, he and Ryan Saunders seem to have a deeper connection, a closer relationship. The way that Carl has talked and just praised him effusively, and again, you know this, Danny, from reporting, is that everyone says nice things, but it depends on the level of niceness and sincerity in the comments that you can usually tell what's really going on. And I got the impression that Karl-Anthony Towns really wanted Ryan Saunders to have this job.
Yeah, he said as much on the record.
And if you don't give at least Ryan Saunders a chance after Karl-Anthony Towns has put himself out there really wanting him, I think you run the risk of irritating Karl-Anthony Towns. And this is, to me, this is the NBA now. This is how it has to be. Like, there's something, of course, that we all go back to where we're like, wait a minute, players aren't in charge. Coaches are in charge. Ownership's in charge. Not in the NBA, they ain't. I mean, LeBron James has fired I don't know how many coaches, and guess what? His best buddy that he wanted as the head coach, Tyronn Lue, is the one that got him a championship. I mean, I think that the coach, whoever's in front office, the other players, everything in this organization is secondary to Karl-Anthony Towns.
And let's not forget, everything that went on last season with the Jimmy Butler stuff and Carl being hesitant on signing his extension and everything, like there was a point where the relationship between Carl Anthony Towns and the organization wasn't where it should have been. And I think when you have a new guy coming into place like this, you've got to do something to make Cat feel like he is truly valued the way that he should be within this organization. And I think allowing him to at least have a say, or at least have an honest opinion about who the head coach is going to be, at least for the next couple of years, I think right now is really, really important.
Rami, has anyone told you about the mascot and Carl's dad?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think I know this.
Oh my gosh, you guys don't know this?
Yeah. No, what?
Okay, this is great. Story time. The mascot severely injured Carl Anthony Towns' dad. In some
what?
Now tell me details here. He was sliding down
Crunch was
stairs.
Sliding down the stairs on some sort of like
some apparatus.
Yeah. On a sled?
Yeah, I think it was like some sled. Sort of sled or something like
and
that.
And he collided with Carl Anthony Towns' dad, and Carl's dad had to have knee surgery.
Wow.
And then there was some type of battle over who was gonna pay for it.
Yeah.
What?
This really happened.
Just pay for it.
Google
it's a franchise player's
I
dad.
Know.
Just pay for
I
it.
Know.
You're a billionaire.
It's so great.
I thought you were going to take issue with me on the poll I put up yesterday. John Wick gets 50%, 57% of the vote.
Recency bias.
To 43% for
bias,
Point Break.
Point
this
break
has been raised by
goat.
Wolves. Collars back with Score North Live right
I'm
after this short
today.
Break.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.